Well, in the Gospel of Luke chapter 24, there are two references to the Saviour's feet. In Luke 24, verse 39, the Saviour said to the disciples gathered in that upper room, "Behold my hands and my feet." And then in verse 40, he showed them his hands and his feet. And then in Romans 10, we read of how beautiful are the feet of them, speaking of those that witness to the gospel. Let's, with our Bibles open, look to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, as we turn now to seek thee, O Lord, we pray that we may understand what it is to get to the Saviour's feet. We pray the Holy Spirit would lead us there. Lord, we sang about being down at the feet of the Saviour. Oh, we pray that that would be our experience here and around thy table, for it's in Christ's name we'd ask it. Amen. I arrived in Canada late on the Friday night and had to be up early in the morning to make the trip to Toronto. The seniors in Toronto Church were having an outing, and I went along with them. Reverend Mrs. Cranson, Dr. and Mrs. McClelland were there, and different ones we had known. He had emigrated here from Ireland, met them there before. Sam McAnally, certainly one sister over here, as I know of, and goes to our finicky work. And it was good to meet new friends there, and so on. The trip was to a place called St. Jacob's. That's a Mennonite centre, and it was interesting to go around the different stalls and so on that the Mennonites have there, and very interesting. I was with Dr. McClelland for a while, and he said, "Come on, we'll just go around the shops." Their wives were away doing serious shopping. We had 2 hours just to kill the time. And we walked about, and he wanted to look in a few shoe shops. He didn't buy anything, but he kept saying, "Look, there's a type of shoe over here in Canada. It's great for your feet." And then he lifted another shoe. "See that brand? That's tremendous for your feet." Got me thinking about feet. I had to laugh when we came home late on the Monday night. I got very early to the airport just to make sure the security was very clear. There was no queue up for it. We got through right away with about 3 hours to spare, and I sat down beside a couple, began to talk to them, gave them some of those little cards that we've had, you know, with the optical illusions, with the gospel in the back, and began to talk to them. We noticed two people in a wheelchair coming along, and the staff were wheeling them. There are seats there at the gate where you board, especially for disabled, and they were helped out of the wheelchair, sat down. The staff went away, and the man tugged his wife and says, "Come on," and he was trotting across to the shops. He came back and noticed there certainly were some who were genuinely disabled, were sitting in those seats, and if you saw the look, and he had to go away somewhere else. There are actually about 12 or so disabled, and they go on the plane first, by the way. They get wheeled on first, and I saw this man when he saw an air hostess. He was literally trotting across to her, demanding a wheelchair for he and his wife. And I turned to those new friends and said, "Look, we've just seen a miracle." His legs have been cured, his feet are no longer cured. But I have been thinking of feet, and you know, it's amazed me this week how often people have talked to me about feet. I don't know why it is, but nearly every conversation's been about feet. I was with the Reverend Tony D'Aderno up in a place called Barry. There were about 25 to 30 in the church. They have a lovely building there, holds about 100. Of course, in Canada, you have as big a basement underneath, Sunday school rooms and so on. He told me the church is all paid off, and they do have money in the bank as well, and they've been around the door seeking to get Sunday schools and so on. It was very encouraging. Tony D'Aderno's son is a tremendous soccer player. If you know anything about Canada and North America, you can get cheaper to university if you're a great sportsman. And he won a scholarship from his school to go to York University. And he's been playing on the college football team that won the Canadian Championship. Now, he refuses to play on a Sunday. He's told them he cannot play on the Lord's Day. That was encouraging to hear. But they still want him on the squad to play on other days. And so Frank was telling me about the football, soccer, and how they play in artificial pitches, not on grass, and how when your shoe gets caught, your boot gets caught, you hurt your ankle. It's very bad on your feet. And there he was again talking about feet. I was preaching on Friday night down near Rathfryland, met a member of the Ardara Church, And he was saying, my wife's not keeping too well. And he went on talking about brittle bones and her feet. Now, of course, I was sympathetic, but I thought, feet again. As with somebody else this week, and they started to talk about the feet and the problem. So I've been thinking about feet. And of course, it's an interesting subject. When you have diabetes or other illnesses, they have to be careful about your feet. It can affect the nerve endings. I know of one person had a very bad back. And they went into this office, they saw this ad, and they went in and they said, could I make an appointment? Yes, when is it? I want to have my back seen too. And the lady said, this isn't a chiropractor, it's a chiropodist. We look at feet, not your back. Well, now they call it a podiatrist today. And a podiatrist examines your feet. And then to top it all off, I was telephoning to Bill Woods in Brazil, who for 50 years almost has worked among lepers, and you know the little shoes he made for their feet and how he operates when lepers lose the feeling in their toes, and even losing one toe can affect your walk. And the years he spent, there's going to be a DVD made for Bill for his 50th, that's what I was telephoning him, and we were talking about that with him on the phone. But Bill was talking about the feet as well. And just as a podiatrist takes a person's feet and uses the little electronic machines to test the circulation and the feeling on the toes, this morning what I want to do is take the instrumentality of God's Word and to examine our feet, not your literal feet, but spiritually examine our feet. In the passage on the Lord's table in 1 Corinthians 11, we're told, let a man examine himself. And this morning, we want the Holy Spirit. You pray that the Holy Spirit will come and examine your feet and enable you to see the condition of your feet this morning as we approach the Lord, as we come to worship Him this morning. Feet are so important. The average person walks about 5 times round this world, they tell us, in your lifetime. Feet are very important. The Bible has much to say about shoes, by the way. Deuteronomy 32, for instance. Your shoes shall be iron and brass. Ephesians 6 talks about shoes. But the Bible has a lot to say about our feet. Let me highlight some of the thoughts as I've been thinking this week about feet. Number one, you have in Scripture the diseased feet of the sinner. The diseased feet of the sinner. Every miracle that the Lord performed when He was here upon earth, they actually happened. They were literal, physical miracles when He caused the blind to see, the dead to be raised, the lame to walk. People whose feet were diseased. And He caused those feet to be cured and to walk. Now, all those physical miracles, they are undoubtedly illustrations of greater miracles. Because He can cause the spiritual blind to see, the spiritual deaf to hear, the spiritual dead to be raised again. That's what salvation is. We were dead in sins. But the Lord raises the spiritual dead. We who cannot walk in the Lord's ways, He comes and He cures the diseased feet. Do you remember in the Old Testament, there was a king called Asa. He was diseased in his feet. And he died of that disease. You remember little Mephibosheth? When he was just a little child, he was crippled in his feet. Do you remember Isaiah chapter 1? The people of Israel prided themselves that we keep the feasts. We follow the laws. We do this, do this. And the Lord said, no. You approach unto me with your lips, but your heart's far from me. They professed they walked in the Lord's ways, but their feet weren't following God's path at all. And the prophet says, this is what you're really like in God's sight. And you read about it in Isaiah chapter 1. And what does he say? From the very sole of your foot, from your feet, right up to the top of your head, you're full of wounds that have not been bound up or mollified. You're full of putrefying sores. And the picture there is, if you know anything about medicine or know the illnesses, it's of weeping ulcers of terrible sores. And God says, spiritually, in the sight of God, that's what all of us are like in our natural state. Even our very best works, later in the book, the prophet says, they're like filthy rags. Like those bandages that have been round a seeping, suppurated wound. In God's eyes, that's what our very best works are like. We're sinners. We're sinners. Feet diseased in our feet. Of course, a person may go to the podiatrist, as they're called nowadays, and they put the little machines, they can listen in to the circulation, they go through your veins and say, oh, you have a terrible foot problem. You better get to the doctor and get that treated. And somebody may say, the feet look fine to me. I see nothing wrong with them. My feet are quite good. In fact, I know other people and their feet are all twisted. But my feet are fine. I don't believe you. And there's many a person reacts that way when they hear the gospel. The warning first in the gospel that we're all sinners. They say, me, I'm all right. I'm okay. Nothing wrong with me. I'm better than other people. Ah, but listen. In our natural state, we have diseased feet. The Bible speaks about feet that are swift to shed blood. Feet that are swift to evil. Feet that speak. The wicked speaketh with his feet. That diseased feet of the sinner. We're helpless. We're helpless to save ourselves. But then, you think of the defiled feet of the saint. The defiled feet of the saint. Now, we mean a saint in the biblical sense. Not, as I said today, in Roman Catholic churches, they're full today because people are there to pray for the dead loved ones. They call this All Saints Day in the church calendar because they believe a saint is someone who lives such a good life the church has canonized them. No, a saint is someone whom the Lord has cleansed. A saint is someone called out of the world, has been redeemed. The blood of Christ has been applied to them. They're separated unto God. That's what a saint is. Every believer is a saint. Every believer. But believers, while we ought to sin less, we're not sinless. And there's times we become defiled. And we sin. Do we need to get saved all over again? Of course not. But we still need to be cleansed to have fellowship with our Heavenly Father. He chastens us as sons. Two examples. Do you remember Peter in the upper room when the Lord came to wash the disciples' feet? At first he said, no, don't wash my feet. The Lord said, then you've no part with me. But then Peter said, don't just wash my feet, wash all of me. And the Lord said, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet. Now, there's two different washings there in the original language. What it means is this. He that is bathed all over. That's the salvation experience. Illustration. You're saved. You're cleansed forever. Your sins are pardoned forever. You're justified. You're washed all over. Maybe you've just taken a bath. You're washed all over, but your foot gets a wee bit of dirt on it. Do you take a full bath again? No, of course you don't. You just wash the foot. And that's what the Lord meant. Peter, you don't need to, you're not saved over again. It's just that defilement on your walk needs to be confessed and forsaken. The picture in the Old Testament of the priest. When a man of 30 years of age became a priest, his old clothes were taken off. He was washed from head to toe. Full cleansing. He was given new clothes, the white linen, in which to carry out the office of a priest. New Testament men and women were all priests unto God. Why? Because we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We've been born again by the Spirit of God, given a new nature. We're saved to be priests unto God. Ah, but when the priest went in to serve God in the holy place, do you know what he had to do? Every time He had to go to the laver and he had to wash his hands and his feet. Not a complete washing, but his hands and his feet had to be washed. What does it mean? You see, as he went about doing his work, his hands get dirty, his feet get dirty. As we go about this world, yes, we love the Lord, we're saved, our sins are all forgiven as regards eternity, justification. But yet, we get defiled. We get defiled. And we have to come to the laver of God's word and have our defiled feet cleansed. So you have the diseased feet of the sinner. You have the defiled feet of the saint. But you have the dedicated feet of the servant. Romans 10 verse 15. How beautiful are the feet of them. Whose feet? The feet of those that preach the gospel, that witness to Christ. You know, back in Romans 12, earlier, Paul said this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And what he's saying is this, Christian, because God has been so good to you, you give your body to the Lord. Dedication. What is dedication? Dedication means we recognize, Lord, this body belongs to you. These hands, this mouth, these ears, these feet, they're your feet. Many examples, but I think of a preacher, some of you know of him, Jack Hiles, when he was a newly converted teenager in the school. One of the girls in the class said, Jack, we're having a dance. Will you come along? He said, no, I've no feet. Of course you knew he had feet. She said, but you do have feet. She says, oh, no, no. And he told her how he had come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his own and personal Savior. And he said, my feet don't belong to me anymore. My whole body belongs to the Lord. And the Lord wouldn't want my feet at that dance. Because they're his feet in reality. That's what dedication means. But Paul says in chapter 10, 15, how beautiful are the feet. Do you want to have beautiful feet? If you want to have beautiful feet, well, the Lord says, and he's quoting from the Old Testament, Isaiah 52 and 7, that when you go out and preach the gospel, and you go out and witness, well, then God says your feet are beautiful. It talks about the mountains in Isaiah 52. And it's sometimes difficult to carry the gospel. We're to use our feet to go with the gospel, to bring the gospel not only across the street, but across the sea. And when you use your feet, maybe to give out a tract, to give out an invitation, to work for the Lord, God says they're beautiful. Of course, our feet are to be used to come to God's house. It says in the Old Testament, our feet shall stand within thy gates. And when your feet are dedicated to the Lord, you'll be in his house worshipping him. You'll be serving him. And the principle is, when we dedicate our feet and all of us to the Lord, then we get to prove what's good and perfect, acceptable will of God. That's when your mind's transformed. That's when you get God's best. See, God gives the best to those that leave the choice with him. You have the disease. Think about feet. They're very interesting. The diseased feet of the sinner. The defiled feet of the saint. We have to come and cleanse as we come into the Lord's presence. There's the dedicated feet of the saint. But in Luke 24, we finally got to the text in verse 39 and 40. You have the disfigured feet of the Savior. The disfigured feet of the Savior. You see, believer, how can you dedicate yourself to the Lord? How can your feet be used for him? How can you keep on being motivated when times get tough? And you get discouraged and you become weary and well-doing. How? By viewing the disfigured feet of your Savior. Believer, those things in the life that have to be put away, when the Holy Spirit shows them, what's the motivation? To behold his feet. If you don't know Christ as your Savior this morning, we call upon you, we invite you to come to Christ. We call upon you to behold his hands and his feet. Behold the disfigured feet of your Savior and fall at those feet. You see, the only answer to the Christian life is to look at the feet of the Saviour. And the Saviour said to the disciples, those men who were discouraged, those men who were downcast, those men who were defeated, to Peter, who was a saint, yes, but he had denied the Lord and he didn't feel like a saint. And what's the Lord's answer? Men, behold my feet. And they were disfigured feet. They were disfigured feet. Focus upon his feet. He showed them his hands and feet. Verse 40. You see, his feet are beautiful feet. That verse in Romans 10:15 is a quote from Isaiah 52:7. It says this: how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. That's Isaiah 52:7. Now notice it's him. Oh yes, it's quite proper in Romans 10:15 to apply it to everyone who witnesses for Christ and tells the gospel. But primarily, Isaiah 52:7 is a prophecy of Christ. His are the feet that published good tidings and brought peace. His feet are beautiful feet, because his feet always walked in the ways of the Father. His feet always went about doing good. And his feet are beautiful feet because he brought the message of peace. His feet were busy feet. As I've said, he always went about doing good. Do you remember the woman of Samaria? It says the Lord must needs go through Samaria. Why? Because there was a woman there whom the Holy Spirit was bringing to salvation. And the Lord Jesus Christ walked those miles along a dusty road. And his disciples were tired and they went off to get food. And the Lord Jesus Christ's feet had walked that road. Why? He was going to bring the gospel to that lady. What an example of busy feet, of beautiful feet. But we remember they were bruised feet. This morning, as we think of feet, we've thought of our own feet, but think of his feet. They were bruised. Those feet that walked upon the water, and the water had to be still under his feet, because the book of Ephesians says he had put all things under his feet. He rules everything. Symbol of feet and water is what was used in Egyptian hieroglyphics for authority and great power. And he's the one that created the world. And yet, the one that created the iron ore, the one that made the trees and created everything in this world, and yet he allowed wicked men to take him and to take those long, most likely iron spikes and to hammer them through his beautiful feet. And he was bruised for our iniquities. Can you picture the pain that he suffered? You see, as prophesied in Psalm 22:16, they pierced my hands and my feet. But now, in Luke 24, he's showing the disciples his feet, and they still have the scar of where the nails penetrated his feet. Isn't that amazing? Just another thing about his feet. John in the book of Revelation chapter 1 saw his feet as brass. Brass is a symbol of judgment. On Calvary, Christ took the judgment of sin. Of course, now he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's going to judge the world. And he's waiting till all his enemies are put under his footstool. And one day all will bow before his feet. But you think about those bruised feet for a moment. Luke 24, verse 39, again, look at the text. Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. And in verse 40, he showed them his hands and his feet. They were disfigured feet. They were disfigured feet. Have you ever thought about that? You see, one of the comforting truths about the resurrection of believers is this. Those believers who in this life have suffered pain or disfigurement, maybe couldn't walk, like Fanny Crosby, the great hymn writer, was blind practically all her life. They look forward to the day when they see Christ face to face. They look forward to the day when there'll be no more sorrow, no more pain, no more bodily infirmities. We'll have a new body. But the body of the Lord Jesus Christ still has the marks upon his hands and feet. Isn't that amazing? Why? What I'm saying is, we believe that our bodies will not have the scars and marks. His body, when he rose, still had the marks in his hands and his feet. Why? Well, I think verse 39 tells you to prove his identity. Remember, Christ had suffered the awful, awful death of crucifixion, when it says his body was marred so that you wouldn't even know it was the face or visage of a mortal man. At first they thought it was a ghost had come. They weren't sure. But the Lord said, look, it's me. I've risen. There's the marks of where the nails went in. Look at my hands. Look down at my feet. There's the marks where the nails. Some of you disciples were there. John was there. I believe Peter was there too. Looked on from afar. 1 Peter 5:1 says he was an eyewitness of the sufferings. And he said, the Lord said, it's me. There's the identity to prove it's him. Of course, those marks proved their security. Their security. You see, those marks upon our Savior's hands and feet, they're like trophies. Medals, if you like, of his victory. But you see, our Savior stands in glory as the representative, the high priest of his people. If you're trusted Christ as Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ is in heaven for you. He's there for you. And at this very moment, he's standing in glory representing you before the throne of the universe. You see, Satan would come and say, you see that, Ron Johnson? You saved him. He says he saved, but he did this and he did that and he did the other thing since he was saved. He doesn't deserve heaven. By the way, he says the same about you too. Satan accuses. And he says, that person doesn't deserve to be in heaven. They did this and they did that. But the Lord Jesus Christ is standing with the marks upon his feet that prove our security. And it says the priest would intercede, and 1 Timothy puts it this way, lifting up holy hands. You know, the Lord doesn't even need to say anything. Although John 17 does give you the prayer that he offers. As he lifts up his holy hands, the scars are there. And the scars would say this, yes, those people deserve hell. But I paid the price on Calvary for every one of their sins, and their sins are blotted out. And of course, the scars are upon the hands of his risen body, and he's alive. He's risen again for our justification. Those wounds, the disfigurement on the Savior's feet prove his identity. They prove our security, and thank God they prove his ability and his availability to save. They prove his ability because he's able to save to the uttermost all that come unto him. He's paid the price. They prove his availability. Do you know when Christ was here upon earth? You'll read, for instance, in Mark 5, it's interesting. That man who was possessed of demons, he came and fell at the Savior's feet and was cured. You read about Jairus, he came and fell at the Savior's feet to plead for his daughter and she was raised. And then you read of the woman with an issue of blood. She fell before him. And then in Matthew 15, you read great multitudes came and they brought with them those that were lame. Those who had diseased feet, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. When Christ was here upon earth, people brought their lame friends. Friends who couldn't walk. Maybe they carried them like they did. You remember Mark 2, the man upon the bed, the four men carried him in. It says people brought their friends who had diseased feet. Where did they bring them? To the feet of the Saviour. And he cleansed and cured their feet. Thank God today the Lord Jesus Christ is still available. Here in this meeting this morning, the Saviour's here. And he's able to save to the uttermost if you will fall at his feet. Have you done that? Are you saved? Well then, as you go through life, be like Mary. You know that Mary, every time she's mentioned, Mary of Bethany I'm talking about, you see her waiting at the Saviour's feet, listening to him. Then in John 11, you see her weeping at the Saviour's feet with her sorrows. And she sees the Saviour weep with her. And then you see her worshipping at the Saviour's feet as she pours the expensive perfume. If you've been to Christ's feet and known forgiveness of your sins, learn from Mary. Wait at his feet. With your sorrows, weep at his feet. And come, as we do at the Lord's table, and worship at his feet. Thank God for all eternity. Everyone will bow before his feet and crown him Lord of all. But surely, if you look at the Saviour's feet, you have to say, love so amazing, so divine, shall have my soul, my life, my all, my very feet. My very feet. Why? To work for him. To walk with him. To witness for him. So that we'll have trophies in the words of the hymn, oh, that with yonder sacred throng we at his feet may fall, join in the everlasting song, and crown him Lord of all. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, we pray that thy Spirit would enable us by faith not only to see the condition of our own feet, but oh, to see his feet. Lord, we're amazed when we think that those feet were disfigured upon the cross for us, were bruised, and yet even to this day he has the marks of the wounds upon his hands and feet. We thank thee for the great security for us. But, O Lord, we would ask in the words of the hymn writer that thou would enable us to see from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Lord, may every one of us fall at his feet. If there be someone here who has never yet fallen at thy feet for salvation, Lord, encourage them to come. Christ has died. He shed his blood. He's alive. He invites men and women to come. Lord, draw them, we pray. Be with those who must go, remain with those who remain around thy table, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.